Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All right, Dave Shannon sitting in for Corey Geiger. It is the J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars Sports Central. Corey's on vacation this week, and this week it's Coach Week, as we invite into the studio today Justin Wheeler, the head coach of the BG Marauders. Coach, good evening.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here. Good evening to you.
Right off the practice field.
Right off the practice field.
It is that time of year for sure. And we're not necessarily going to, you know, we can talk about BG football at some point during this hour, but I've been trying to give the coaches an opportunity for people to get to know them as an individual rather than just the coach, or, you know, a little bit about your background, because you very seldom get a chance to, once you're in and you're the coach, that's all people think about you. That's what you are. You're the coach, and nobody knows much else about you. And there's always a backstory for things. And I've been trying to hear different people's, different coaches' backstories about how it was that they got bitten by the football bug, how far back in their life it did, and taken all of us through when that hit you and to where you are today. So when you were young, when you were a kid, when did that hit you?
My family's a big sports family. Mm-hmm. You know, my especially my mom's side of the family. So, you know, growing up, you know, we had Sunday dinners, and, you know, when you were little, as soon as dinner was over, it was football outside, you know, mm-hmm. two-hand touch or one-hand, you know, dad's played, the uncle, everyone's played, you played basketball, you played stuff. So I really looked forward to those, you know, those dinners, and then what came after,
the game,
you know,
after,
especially,
yeah.
you know, in the summertime and in the fall and stuff. And my grandfather actually was, he worked at Pencambria in maintenance for 43 years. And he also ran the scoreboards and did the clocks okay. for varsity games.
Yeah.
So growing up, Friday nights, you know, we tagged along, and he let us sit up in a booth with him while he did, you know, the scoreboard, and we closed up the place at night and, mm-hmm. you know, shut the lights out. And it was just such a cool thing when you were little to be, go to those games where the kids look like superheroes down on the field,
yeah,
you know,
and
to sit there and watch it, and you couldn't wait to be a part of it. So, you know, and then the games that he wasn't, you know, if it was a away game, he would drive us. He would take us to the game. So I think we just spent our Fridays like that. I mean, in Saturdays and Sundays, we, you know, I had two brothers, I had two close cousins, and, you know, we just played outside and played sports. And for me, I really, really liked that. And then I think the older I got, it was also something that, you know, sometimes the dad-son relationship, there's, you know, you don't talk a lot. And my dad's super quiet, great guy, you know, hardworking guy, you know, but football and sports was always something that we could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was just like a bond that we always had, and he liked to hear about the games, and he would change his. He worked at the mines back in the day, and
okay.
and he'd work first shift and second shift and third shift. It rotated. I don't know how he did it, knowing, you know, what that does to your body, but he would always switch with guys to make sure he didn't miss our events. So he was
great.
There on Friday nights, you know,
yeah.
and that kind of stuff. And it was a full family thing, and my mom actually videotaped every game.
Wow.
Basketball, football. She went up in the stands. And it wasn't nowadays where you had an iPhone. She had like the, you know, 19-pound camera,
yeah,
camera up. So it was just a family thing. Like, we talked about it. We loved to be around it. We were sports people. And for me, it was just something growing up, being around people that love sports, that made me really want to be a part of it. And it's never really left.
When you first started to play it on an organized basis, did you have more than one sport that you were, you know, doing at that time? Were you a baseball and football guy? What did you do there?
Yeah, we did it all, man. I love multi-sports, and that's, for me, when I started, it was definitely football in the fall. You know,
mm-hmm.
we started Lily Raiders, like Lily Proud, like, you know, every town back then had their own sport. So,
yeah,
you know, you were
yeah.
Lily best, you know, baseball, you were Lily football. So yeah, I did football in the fall, Lily Raider basketball in the wintertime, and then in the summertime, you know, we did baseball, and
mm-hmm.
Our town had four teams, and my dad coached that for us. So I really loved, you know, I just like playing sports, you know. So
right,
we were
right.
just playing whatever, or picking up games, or doing whatever. We played it all. So those were the three sports that I really enjoyed. Once I got to high school, football and basketball I stayed with.
Okay.
I did a little bit of track, but, you know, I really, those were the two sports that I just had a love for, and football, I think, for me, was definitely number one.
Okay. What position do you play in baseball? Pitch, first base, what did you do there?
Little league, man. I hit dingers, so that was number one. I was hitting cleanup, hitting three, but I played shortstop. I played shortstop. My dad actually threw me in one of our championship games as a catcher when I was 10 years old.
Okay.
I never caught a game. And back in the day, it was our little league was 9 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
So 9-year-olds didn't play much. It was two innings. You know, 10-year-olds started to play, and 11 and 12 is when you really played. But so I played. I'd moved up when I was younger and played a little earlier and you know, really liked sports and did pretty well. So I moved up and when I was younger. And then when I was 9, I played a little pretty significant role, and then 10 when I was 10 I did. So I was playing second base and shortstop, and then our catcher, you know, back things happen, and our catcher was on vacation, was camping, and couldn't come back. So my dad's like, you got to, it's a championship, best of three series, and he's like, you got to catch tonight. I was like, I never even put catching equipment on, but it was one of those memories that you have kind of like built in that you remember like putting that stuff on and thinking, and the first time someone stole on me, I threw it to right field. So I was like, my dad, he's killing me. He's like, so I was like, well, I couldn't get the mask off in time and I didn't know where I just threw it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it went okay. But, you know, it was just a neat thing. You know, when you're growing up, you're trying to play different things. But, so I caught a few times, but mostly, you know, shortstop and I pitched. And when I didn't do that, I sometimes would play, you know, first or third. But
okay. All right.
Wasn't much of an outfielder.
Now, when football came around, when you got involved with that, what did you start? What positions did you start at? And where did that eventually lead the older you got? Because normally you may do a multitude of things the younger you are. And then eventually there's that niche that you fit into. This is what is good for you. You realize it yourself because of playing it. But tell us how many positions you started out at in football and where you ended up.
Well, when I first started, tackle football started, I believe, in fourth grade, something like that. So there was like the peewees, 4, 5, and 6, and then 7 and 8 was, you know, 6, 7, and 8. They kind of broke it, and you played a little bit more varsity. So you played for a while. But so when I first started, you kind of get put in based on your size, where you go. Kind of still do a little bit today. And I was always a bigger kid. Always wanted to be, you know, running back, quarterback, things like that, because I was a pretty good athlete back in the day. And, you know, but they put you where they need you. And so when I first started, I played like linebacker on defense. I played some offensive line. When I was first started, I played a little bit of running back. And then, you know, when you get back in those town leagues, once you get over like 120 pounds, they put that big X on your helmet. So, and you're not allowed to carry the ball anymore. So, I don't know. Most guys get that in eighth grade. I was like in, you know, sixth grade, they were putting an X on my helmet. But, and then you only were allowed to play till you were 140 pounds. And okay. Then once, if you were over that, you could actually play for your school. They also had a junior high program. But I stayed with Lily, and, you know, I was just talking about this the other day with some of the coaches. I said, I think I rolled in like, they had weigh-ins like the first day, you know, and I rolled in like, you know, 2 weeks prior to that, they did some pre-weigh-ins to see where kids were. And I was like 160, and they're like, you got to lose like 20 pounds. And so I actually had, got my wisdom teeth removed like a couple days later. So for like 2 weeks, I didn't eat. So it was like the perfect timing to like to lose all this weight. And then they weigh you in. It was so unhealthy. Like you lose all this weight. They weigh you in, and then the next day you could be 220 pounds, and like that, no one ever weighs you back in. So I played line up until eighth grade, you know, because of the weight had to be 140. And then when I went to ninth grade, I actually played quarterback. So it was like a transition from like guard tackle to quarterback in ninth grade. So I played quarterback, played linebacker. And then when I went to varsity, we had a real small team at Penn Camry back then. And so the coach asked me to go back to the line because I was probably 6 foot, 205, 210, 6'1".
Made sense.
Was one of the bigger kids back then. So I moved to the line, which, you know, I just wanted to play. So I was happy as can be. But we went undefeated my junior year regular season. Penn Camry went 10-0 back in 89. And, you know, I was like, made first team all offensive guard and was like, we had real good team. And Nick Felis from Penn Camry, his brother Carmen was our quarterback, you know, from Lillian.
Okay.
So it was just, it was a pretty, pretty, pretty cool year. Then my senior year, they moved me. So it was like a transition, like all these years. I went back to tailback. So I went from like, you know, running back to line to
tailback,
quarterback to line.
And then
back to tailback my senior year. And, you know, it was fun. I mean, I was always, and I still talk to kids today, you just got to kind of do whatever you need done because it's a team sport. So
sure.
If you needed me to play somewhere because we had a better chance to win, you know, and I think sometimes kids lose that a little bit today, and so do parents. They get kind of like, what's in it for me? How my kid? And as a parent, I get it. But you know, it's part of the ultimate team sport. So you got to kind of sacrifice sometimes. And I did that and had some really fun years, you know, through high school.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that is shown through over the course of your coaching, as well as the idea of sacrifice. Because I go back to, I think that was the first year that I did play-by-play of Bishop Guilfoyle games. And that was when we went to Hershey for the state championship, and the wind was blowing about 75 miles an hour down there. And that, to me, was one of the most amazing jobs as a high school football coach. The injuries that you had happen on that team over the course of the season, you lose your running back for an extended period of time. He gets healthy and comes back, but then the quarterback's hurt. And, you know, you're talking about two key components. And of course, you know, the guys are playing both sides of the ball too. So you're losing technically like two players,
yeah,
you know, when that happens. And you, two of your stars were gone, and there you are in Hershey playing for the state championship.
Yeah, that year was crazy. I mean,
it was.
People don't maybe believe this, but we were in week 9, and we had quarterback tryouts. We're going to go on and play for a state championship in a couple weeks. We don't know that, but we're in week 9, and we're meeting Sunday night saying, who can quarterback for us? Because we'd lost our starting quarterback, our backup quarterback, you know, and well, team, you start getting down to, you know, the third, fourth string quarterback, you know, those.
And after all, the pterodactyl can only do so much.
He could only do Yanishak. Up at Notre Dame still right now, he's playing. But, yeah, it was crazy. And we had a kid who played defense for us, really wasn't playing offense. And we said, you know, he's a big kid. He was a senior. And he was just throwing the ball around. And he was slinging it. So we're like, could you maybe quarterback? And the kid was like, in a game. We're like, yeah, we're going to play this week. We're going to go play undefeated Chestnut Ridge, you know, week 9, and we have to win. We're going to make you our quarterback. So what we did is that week, we said, we're going to try to teach you like these 8 plays, these 4 passes. And then we had another kid, we're like, we're going to put you in for these 4, only learn these 4 plays. Then we had another kid, we're like, we're going to put you in for these couple plays. So we're going to try to, so you don't have to learn everything. We're going to rotate 3 guys, and one couldn't throw real well. So we're like, you're going to run the, so it was crazy. It was just so, and you know, the pieces that you had to move, you know, because when you come and watch a game, like, no one knows that. But, you know, if you were a part of it and you watched the week before and you're like, okay, you know, this kid didn't even play offense, you know, the first 7-8 weeks, and that was quarterbacking for you. Like, that just doesn't happen. But I just actually talked to the kid's dad. Sam Holman was his name, and he came in and he won the game for us at quarterback, threw some great passes, hit a 4th and 9 to Keegan and Myrick, and kept a drive going, and we scored late to win the game. But it was just such a cool year because so stressful, but you know, we were really, really good a couple of years prior to that, and we had some really good kids, and, you know, they make coaches look really, really good. And then, you know, then that year it was like, we went out to won the state championship, the wind and all that stuff, but it was, you know, a lot overtime, but
it was. I'll tell you what, it was the darndest thing because that wind, the first kick that you took went, it was headed between the uprights. However, the wind was blowing straight across the uprights,
side to side,
and the kick got up there, and it was just like it hit a wall, and it just dropped straight down. And the other team won the game because the kick went a little bit further. It got knocked down by the wind, too.
It did.
But when it fell just over the crossbar.
So I've never seen a kick that went through the uprights but landed 4 yards in the playing field. Like, it curved around and wind kept bringing it back. It was insane. But I thought that team played – I mean, they played so well. And that Ferrell team that year was so good.
Yeah.
And our kids played their hearts out. And to take them to overtime and to lose, we had some opportunities. But, you know, I was so proud of that team in 19, even though they may not have gotten. But we started 0-2 that year. We lost a gazillion kids to injuries and some things. And, you know, when you start going through who was quarterbacking, who was doing what, and it was freezing cold.
That was brutal day. I
think those kids will have some awesome memories of that, you know, because of what they were able to do.
Absolutely. The one thing that remembering back about that game, and I did mention it a couple of times on the air, was the Ferrell kids were – I don't know that I referred to them as spoiled brats, but that's what they were. I mean, they went out there and they expected a call to go a certain way. And it's like, first of all, when I see that out of a high school player, okay, I want you to be engaged. I want you to do that. But you don't go out there and act like you're an NFL making $20 million a year guy. You know, and I remember their quarterback, and the play didn't go the way he wanted to, and he started jumping up and down like a 3-year-old that didn't get what he wanted for, you know, dinner.
Yeah,
and to watch your guys, and it's like, I'm not saying the guys that you had on your team weren't having a degree of fun, but it was, everything was controlled. It was businesslike the way they conducted themselves.
Yeah, I think we shocked Ferrell. I think they were so good that year and just kind of ran through everybody. And, you know, you looked at our team and they're like, well, this quarterback's, you know, they threw 5 quarterbacks this year, you know, like they're not. And, you know, the running back has been hurt most of the year and is wearing a knee brace and not quite 100%. And, you know, we had some kids. And I think they just thought they were going to – it was going to be, because we had mercy ruled them a couple years prior in the Ferrell, not the same kids, but the program.
Right.
So it was like they came to that game thinking this is going to be easy. We're going to put on. We're so good, and our kids played so engaged and so at a high level. And I think we frustrated them so bad they couldn't even believe that they weren't able to score. They weren't able to do things, and we had shut them down almost completely most of the game. And you could see the frustration, and that we actually fed on that as players, as coaches. We were like, "Look how frustrated they are! They can't believe you guys are doing this." And our kids kept getting more confidence and more confidence. And we thought, we can get to overtime. It's hard to believe, but we have a chance. And Jack Donahue blocked that punt late in the game, and we scooped it up and returned it. I think it was Jack who blocked it, or maybe it was Cookie, but Jack scooped it up and returned it. But it was everything. Our kids played so well, didn't get the final thing. But I remember that same thing you're talking about, and actually talking to our kids about how frustrated they were, and it was because of how well we were playing.
Yeah. No, that's a great memory that you get out of a program, and I'm sure every one of the players on the team could probably recount that day and that game, practically every play that happened, because those kinds of games you don't forget.
Yeah, we came back and had this unbelievable fan base we have, and they met us back at the stadium, at the school. We came back and they had a little get together, and our seniors talked, and you know, it's for kids to talk. It's tough, you know, it's a tough thing. I remember Hayden Fox saying, you know, we were 0-8 in 8th grade or 7th grade. Mm-hmm. And we were like 1-8 in 9th grade. And I don't know if we won many JV games, and you know, no one really expected us and, you know, to do anything. And he said, but we believed in ourselves, and we believed in the program, and we believed in the coaches, and we did what they asked us to do, and we worked harder, and we wanted to keep that same standard of excellence. And they became a team that may not have won early, and some kids get frustrated and quit. But these kids stuck with it year after year after year, and they made it to Hershey, and they were 1.5 feet away from being a state champion, they were runners up. But they just were so proud of themselves, which is such a great feeling for a coach, because that's what you want. You're trying to build guys with, and so for me, that, you know, of course you go there to win. You want to win them, and we've done won a few of those. But when we came back and talked, it was like I talked to coach. I said, these kids, you know, I think they're going to get more out of this than any year, because they work hard enough to get there. They could have quit at any moment, but they didn't. So it was definitely a special year.
But and that was, I will remember that, because as a coach, You're not taking, you know, a whole lot of credit for that, but it's you and the rest of your coaching staff and the leadership you gave to those kids is something that, as I say, they're going to remember for a long time. And that says a lot about you to be able to, you know, because people, I think athletes are a lot different than what maybe the normal school populace is. They don't have short attention spans. They have long attention spans. Otherwise, they wouldn't be successful at what they're doing on the field. And so they're a different breed anyway. They're still young, and some, like you said, I mean, it could have been that group could have given it up early on because it was frustrating to not be a winning team all the time and only picking up a few wins here and there, but they, you know, stayed together. And I would venture a guess for those particular team members that you had, that's a life lesson. You know, things may not be going well at your job, or even in your life, but you stick with it, and there is a reward. You stick with it, you do it the right way, there's a reward out here at the end.
I think that's probably why football for me was something that I just love. I mean, I talk about what you're saying all the time with our guys. I mean, I love sports, but football is like, it just mirrors life in so many ways. Mm-hmm. You know, the older you get, the more you realize it too, that, you know, there are so many ups and downs in your life that you have to be able to be a fighter, and you can't quit at things. You got to keep working at them. And Tom Brady just said it here over a couple months ago, you know, play football because it's hard. Life is hard. Mm-hmm. You know, you get into these things, you got to get up, you know, play football. You got to get up in the summer. You got to do all these hard things. But what you're doing is you're setting yourself up for success in life, because you're going to have to get up for a job. You're going to have a boss that you're like, oh my God, I don't want to, you know, you may not do well in certain things at your job and have to keep fighting. But, you know, if you do that, you're going to have more good days than bad days.
And, yeah, you know, exactly. So that's exciting. Exactly. It's Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger. It's brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. And it's also brought to you in part by Pleasant Valley Recreation Center, Mike's Sports Shop, and Mattis Motorsports. I'll be back with Coach Wheeler, and we'll talk more about his life and how things went. We're going to take a visit to your college days coming up.
All right.
Stay tuned. You're listening to Sports Central, and it is on 1370 and 96.1 Hank FM.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
At ShoeFly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into ShoeFly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. ShoeFly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of ShoeFly's fit specialists, visit their website, ShoeFlyStores.com. ShoeFly. Your feet will thank you.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE Truck Cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Hank FM.
Welcome back to Sports Central. Dave Shannon sitting in for Corey Geiger, joined by Justin Wheeler, the head coach at Bishop Guilfoyle, and talking about things. We talk about life lessons, and it's great to hear a coach. And you know, to a degree, I've always wondered, you know, how is it that you get to that point in your life where you feel like, okay, this is something I think, you know, I know the game. I feel like I want to do this, and you go ahead and do it. Now, we're taking our time going through the old days here. We're about to move on to your college days. So talk about what happened at college.
Yeah, so we had some success in high school, you know, our team, and when your team's successful, it opens up some opportunities, I think, as coaches.
Sure.
And stuff. And so we had a pretty successful team in my junior year and started getting some college interest.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to play. I just loved football. It was the sport that football and basketball were the two, but football, I just loved the game itself, the Friday nights, the camaraderie, the team, you know, just something about that for me was always so amazing. So I knew I wanted to play college football, and I wasn't sure where. Back then I said my mom videotaped every game. So she made me a highlight tape old VCR tapes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't know much about recruiting. So we were sending them out. We sent them out to all over the place. And, you know, I met with, I remember playing Ligonier and talking to West Virginia coaches that were there and talked to, some other coaches around and was getting a lot of interest from Patriot League schools. I'd done pretty well in school. So, you know, I wasn't sure. So when the season ended, some schools had visited over basketball season, and I just wasn't sure where I wanted to go, and took a really good visit to Lehigh, liked the campus, liked Bucknell a lot, liked West Virginia a lot, like I wasn't sure. And then out of the blue, Penn State hadn't had much interest at the time. I didn't know. I hadn't talked to anyone. It wasn't like today where you could text somebody. You had to wait for a phone call or a letter in the mail.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We got a phone call one night. Man, it must have been late December, early January. And I remember my mom saying, like, this look on her face. It's like, what? And she's holding the phone, right? Because you had a cord connected to kids. Young kids don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you
seriously.
Have a phone connected to the wall. And she's holding it. And she was like, it's Coach Paterno. I'm like, who? You know, and who? Coach Paterno, Penn State. I'm like, nah, you know, your mom. Like, she was, talk to him. And I'm like, and I'm like, hello? And we had a little conversation. He said that, they'd liked my tape and they did some stuff and, wanted to bring me down to talk to me a little bit. And I was like, I just came back from a visit from Bucknell. And so I was like, okay, let's go down and talk. So we drove down. I met Fran Ganner, was our offense coordinator at the time, talked to him a little bit, and talked to some coaches that were there, and then went in and met with Coach Paterno. And you walked into his office. I don't know, it was like back then. I didn't know what heaven looked like, but I thought this is probably close. You walk through his doors, and he's sitting, because my dad, we had season tickets, and we used
like
to go to the game.
The throne room.
Oh, yeah. It was like, and my whole family, we love Penn State. And, you know, so went in there, talked to him, and he was like, we kind of missed on you early. You weren't on our board and got your information late. And, we're bringing in some really good kids, so we're not going to be able to offer you a scholarship, but we'll put you on as an invited walk-on, which means you don't ever try out. You'll be on the team your whole career here, and you'd have to earn a scholarship while you're here. And, so we had talked about the negatives of that and the positives of that and went through some stuff and met with a bunch of academic people and left. And, a couple weeks went by and I just wasn't, no matter when I talked to the coaches, you always had that Penn State little thing in your mind, like Beaver Stadium and
oh yeah,
Cal, like the whole thing. And I was like, talked to my parents, and I said, I know money-wise, going from scholarship to some places, mm-hmm. turning down a scholarship to maybe walk on to a place. You know, my parents, my son, my dad worked in the mines, and my mom was stay at home for a while. Then she was an aide at the school when we started getting a little older. But so it wasn't like we were going to write a check to somebody. You know, they worked really hard to give us everything. But I just couldn't give it up. I just couldn't give that Penn State dream up. And my parents never once made me. They were like, never even tried to talk me out of it. They were like, if you, this is something you want, like, give it your all. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. So I called Penn State and, you know, talked to them and went down and decided I was going to do it. And, you know, it was probably the best decision. You know, I may not have played as much as I would have played in other places and had some success. But the guy, the memories I have from being there and playing for some great coaches and being in some unbelievably big games and that experience and the education I got was amazing. And the friendships I made there, I think, you know, it all made it worthwhile. But that was kind of how I got to Penn State, turned down some scholarship, turned down some offers, and wound up trying to, you know, track my dream down a little bit at Penn State. And it was 5 years of not only great football and being a part of it, but, and we were undefeated in 94 too. That was the Rose Bowl team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my freshman class coming into Penn State, you start going down, Kajana Carter was, you know, the number one running back mm-hmm. in Ohio. Brian Milne was like the number two running back in Ohio. In Pennsylvania, we had Mike Archie was the number one running back in Ohio. Then our Pennsylvania, the number two running back was John Whitman. He came to Penn State. So nowadays, if you think the number one running back from Pennsylvania, the number one running back and number two from Ohio, we had the New Jersey, Michael Pitts, that went on to play in the NFL. And then we had another running back. And then another one was JT Morris, the Gatorade Player of the Year in Virginia.
Yeah.
So it was an amazing group of athletes and talent and offensive line. And so it was like a whole package. It was one of those great years. So we had some really good years and you know, we started out and, you know, had some good wins. But that 94 year undefeated Rose Bowl, it was such just a cool moment and made the whole experience like, you know, we always thought, would you go back? Would you take the scholarship or somewhere else, maybe play more? Would you go maybe a smaller school and really be a dominant force? And I said, I don't think I would. I actually was just texting my roommates from Penn State, Mark Rivera, who's in the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
We just were in a text yesterday. We were texting about some stuff. And Keith Conlon, who played for the Colts, big lineman, you know, he's in the group. And Jeff Hardings, who played for the Steelers as a center, was a number one pick for Detroit. So these are guys that I've been to see them play and be a part of their lives. And the experiences I got there, I think, and it's, I think, helped me to where I am today. So I think I wouldn't change one thing.
And probably being around the coaching staff with Coach Paterno and Fran Ganter, those are things that I'm sure, maybe not totally consciously, but probably sometimes, but at least subconsciously, those things sink in. And when you get to the point where you're going to be a coach, you can think back to, you know, what went on in those days you were there. And those guys knew how to get groups of young men geared up and ready to go.
Yeah, I had really great coaches and the work ethic that they instilled back then to really work for something bigger than you and be a part of something. And, you know, they recruited a different type of person. They wanted good people, good academics. And so putting a bunch of people that all have similar, you know, life's goals and similar work ethic was pretty neat. I mean, I think, you know, that grand experiment they talk about at Penn State that Paterno started, like, not just going to recruit the best players, but the best people.
Yeah.
You know, and if they're the best players, great. You know, but if they're not, we're going to take the best people over that. And I think so many, the success that was bred there, you know, and then when I got a job and started coaching, you start looking at those things. And I use Coach Paterno's quotes all the times, you know, with our kids, and I started with it. But it does leave the foundation of success for me, anyhow, when it comes to coaching. Of course, you have to have a strong family like I did. But, you know, when you go to college and you're around those people more than your families during those pretty important years, it's, you know, you're at a place that kind of instilled that as well. So, and I really was fortunate.
All right. On to the coaching ranks, and we'll talk about that after we take this time out. You're listening to Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger. It's brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, and also brought to you by Mattis Motorsports, Mike's Sport Shop, and the Pleasant Valley Recreation Center. We'll have more after this.
Juan Pablo Montoya is going to be Tyler Reddick's teammate at Watkins Glen, so what are Tyler's thoughts on that?
Yeah, I got to run into him, actually. He was on his way out of Airspeed when I saw him, and I never had the opportunity to meet him before. You know, he's just an incredible personality. The way that he thinks about things is kind of from a different generation of driver, you know, and so it's been really cool to share just a couple of things with him. But I'm looking forward to that experience when we get to the Glen, his input from their test, the things he's picking up on in the car already. He's just going to offer a unique vantage point, you know, a very experienced vantage point on where our cars are at on road courses. I'm really looking forward to having an experience like that, being able to be a teammate with a driver as accomplished as him.
And Reddick's playoff chances this year are?
We didn't have a whole lot of playoff points going into it last year. Could go down the list. I feel like Pocono, we had a caution every time a caution came out is when we didn't need it. Same thing happened at Indy. We had, you know, the loose wheel and still came back to second. So I think we've done a really good job. Even here at Richmond, actually earlier in the year, we were not that great and fought back for a top 10. So we've just done a really good job of fighting through these things and getting the finishes. And I think that will be really important in the playoffs. One thing that's been on our side is the speed. It's been allowing us to close the points gap. So we got a lot of positives going for us right now.
You're on the final lap.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Tom Kelly's carbon fiber mountain bike. Because more than riding his carbon fiber mountain bike, Tom loves telling people about his carbon fiber mountain bike. Friends, family, even a local barista knows about his carbon fiber mountain bike. And that's why Tom's carbon fiber mountain bike, if you haven't heard about it, is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Pacific Coast. Bread and Rolls Pacific Coast. Bread and Rolls Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast. Bread and Rolls Pacific Coast. Bread and Rolls Pacific Coast. Bread and Rolls Pacific Coast. Hank FM.
Welcome back to Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger, joined tonight by Justin Wheeler, the head coach of the Bishop Guilfoyle Marauders, as we get to know the coaches just as people. We're going to talk a little bit about coaching and the team coming up, but not a whole lot, because I think it's important that people know those guys that are the head coaches that are down in the field that sometimes take a beating. Maybe a little bit worse now that social media has taken such a big, you know, role in people being able to make comments. But there has always been, you will read an article in the newspaper and it may surprise you, you know, that somebody decides to, you think you're doing a good job and the fans seem to be happy and everything. And then boom, there's this thing in the newspaper. It's like, what the heck is that? Now you get it all the time, you know. If you pay attention to that stuff, I take all of that with a grain of salt. But you get into coaching now. When does that happen, and what makes you turn the corner? And that's your life's work. Then.
Life's work, yeah. I don't know, man. I you loved it, of course. And like I said, that 94 Penn State team, we went on the Rose Bowl and I had 19 family members come to that game, out to the Rose Bowl, and we didn't travel much back then. And, and I remember my mom, I said, hey, you know, we're going to Rose Bowl. Everyone's excited, trying to win a national championship. And you know, they gave you 4 tickets back then is all you got. And so I called my mom. I said, hey, you know, super excited. We're going to get a chance to go to Rose Bowl. She's like, I know we haven't come to a bowl game yet. We're all going to come to this one. I said, oh, that's awesome. I said, let me know. I might be able to get a few more tickets for, you know, friends who maybe aren't going or whatever, mm-hmm. some freshmen who aren't maybe. And she said, okay. She called me like the next day and she said, hey, we need 19. I was like, what? So it was like every freshman, hey, can I get your tickets? Can I get? So, you know, ended up getting 19 tickets. And, you know, back then, I think when they were fulfilling the ticket order, mm-hmm. they did it by the most tickets because it wasn't by, like, Kerry Collins would have been 50-yard line. Kajana Carter would have been 50-yard line. You know, we had some Bobby Engram would have been. And but I think they must have just said, well, this kid has 19. So Sue Paterno was, like, in front of my family, mm-hmm. but over to the left. So I heard my grandfather saying I had one leg on one side of the 50, one leg on the other, and I had better seats than Sue Paterno. So he was, like, so happy. But so it was just such a big part of my life. And then when I left, I student taught, actually, my last year at Altoona High School.
Okay.
Ed Dalton was coaching at the time, and he was at Purchase Line, and he was my all-star coach over the Ken Lancey game. And so when I was student teaching there and go to student teach in the spring, he said, would you like to maybe just help out, maybe scout for us, do something? So, you know, not really like officially, but I was like, yeah, I think I might want to do that. So I ended up helping him out for a couple of years, scouting, going to see, you know, I remember going to scout Larry Johnson at State College, going up to see
Wow.
Larry, and coming home and saying, Coach, we're in trouble. I got this kid, you know. But back then, you know, he had a good team back in '96 when I was still helping out a little bit there, and then I went back to Penn Cambria and started coaching some, and you know, was coached there for a few years, and then you know, the coach had left, and then you know, once the coach left, they brought a new guy in, and I actually got out of coaching for a while, got married, you know, met my wife, of course, we got married, and then, you know, you start with the family stuff and building houses, and you just don't think, you'd always missed it, but I didn't really, you know, there's so much else going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe about 6 years I was out of coaching or so, 6 or 7 years. And then that coach that was at Penn Cambria had left. And there was some talk in the area, like in my round, I was teaching at the time, and like, hey, just consider coming back coaching at Penn Cambria, or, you know, come back coaching with us and stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, and I decided to do it. And Ernie Fetzer was the head coach, and coached with him for a few years. And then, you know, just like getting back involved with it.
Sure.
Once you, there's just something about walking on the field and being around the guys. And I just loved football. So I really got back into it full tilt, coached with him and loved, you know, the kids were great. Penn Cambria had some really good years and some really great teams back then. And then, you know, it just happened that I saw the BG job open, and, you know, I'd always kind of wanted to be a head coach and really wanted to be, you know, give it a try. I thought, like, you know, I'd always liked coaching, but I wanted to kind of put my own spin on it, you know?
Sure.
And so I applied with no real knowledge.
Expectations.
No knowledge of anyone from Bishop Guilfoyle, anyone. And had like a first interview, was like an hour and a half. And it was I thought it was a great interview, but you never know. You don't hear anything for a while. And they're like, well, you come back, we'll talk. And they bring you back to talk the second time, and you go through some stuff, and you're trying to talk about how you'd build a program when you never built a program. You know, like, what do you, well, I don't know, but this is kind of what I do. And you know, they were okay. BG was just kind of in the middle, like, just weren't bad, weren't great at the time, just kind of in the middle doing, just wanted to take a next step. And I knew they had some really good young kids because of our junior high programs kind of crossing over. And I'm like, this freshman class, eighth grade class, next year's freshman is going to be really good. So that's kind of how I got a little bit of knowledge into BG and went down. And I remember getting the phone call and said, they're going to offer me the job. And I was just like, are you kidding me? And I called my wife. I'm like, you know, I know you said go for it, but I think they just hired me. So be careful what you wish for. And then I called my mom and dad and told them. And I was actually at the mall when they called me. It was so like a weird memory, walking around the mall, like going to get some, you know, I don't think people even do that anymore. But yeah, so I got an opportunity to go to BG and you know, got there. We had like 30 kids on the team, had to move up all the freshmen. And I was like, what do I get myself into? Like, you know, we went 1-8, you know, we played Johnstown, opened up with Johnstown that year, and they had a kid going to Temple, middle linebacker. They were so good. I mean, they were loaded. And we had a freshman tailback, Brandon Chadbourne. I'm like, he's going to be good. Got to break him in slow, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had all these injuries. And by the time we got to our first game, we're like, all right, run a toss to this freshman kid and, you know, try not to get him hurt. And that linebacker ran through the line of scrimmage, chased him down, and drilled this kid. I'm like, oh, my Lord, what did I just do to this freshman kid? And he jumped up smiling, laughing. I'm like, oh, okay. But we had lost, you know, our couple seniors that were really good, going to be good, I thought. But one tore his ACL in the first drive.
Oh,
one broke his leg, like, in the second drive. You know, and these kids, they stuck with it and tried, but we ended up playing a lot of those freshmen and going 1-8 and knew we were going to be talented, but you know, I just kept to what I believed would help, you know, trying to teach them good lessons and work ethic and being around it, and that group, 2000, ended up going 9-3 the next year. Patterson was our, you know, quarterback for us, and Brandon was there, and Sammy and those guys, some really good older kids, you know, well, and then 10-3 the next year, and lost in a blizzard in the district championship. You know, one of those games, I said, you talk about cold games, anyone who was there, it was probably minus 20 degrees, but a squall hit, like, as we were getting ready to warm up. There was nothing prior to that. It just, this squall came down. It was like 3 inches in,
wow,
like, 40 minutes,
mm-hmm,
and it was like crazy cold and windy, and we lost that, and I thought, oh my God, we're never going to win. You know, you're never going to win. Like, so close, we're so good, but there's, you know, and how are we going to fix this? But we came back the next year and went on that 16-0 run, and I don't know, man, it's just something about the journey to become a coach and then, you know, finding time to get your life in order. And I think it just hit me at the right time that I had a family already. I kind of knew who I was,
mm-hmm,
and got in to become a head coach. All at the right – things just seemed to click the right
fall
way.
Fall right into place.
Yeah, and yeah, then all that, and I have maybe the best group of kids to come through BG as a group, that ninth grade group, and just were leaders from when they were young and hard workers, and were able to kind of do what I was at, like had the talent to do it, and also the work ethic and the family support. So it was just kind of a perfect – blend of, you know, you get that, you surround yourself with amazing coaches, which I've had my whole career, and great families and a supportive school, and we're able to do some pretty cool things.
I think one of the things that points out is society is so obsessed with instant gratification, and football is going to teach you that there's not such a thing. But that big lesson in the story you just told, you know, you go from a 10-3 season to a 16-0 season. And it's like, you may not have gotten that this year, but if you keep this up, here's what can happen. And that's a huge life lesson. It seems to be lost on a lot of people these days. They just expect that instant gratification stuff. And it's like, that's not the way life is.
Yeah, it's not the end. It's the journey, right? So
yeah,
it's all about the steps you take and the work you do and you know, being there for each other and learning how to overcome things. And that group, 1-8 freshmen, who a lot of them started, to 16-0. And you talk about a group that could have quit after their freshman year, because if they would have stayed, they moved up, but didn't have to. They moved up to ninth grade, to varsity, didn't have to. They could have stayed at junior high. They, mm-hmm, they would have went 6-7-0 in junior high. But they thought, what's going to make us better is adversity and hard work, and we may not have success this year. We're, mm-hmm, going to give up success for a future goal. You know, this 1 year of instant gratification, ninth grade year, we're going to beat everyone. We're okay with not doing that and learning and being a part of the program and maybe taking some lumps, but we believe there's a good outcome. And
yeah,
not knowing that they were going to be state champions, we just wanted to win a district championship. So they, and it didn't happen easy. We lost to a great Bellwood team in 12, who went on to the state quarterfinals. And in 13, we lost in a blizzard in the district championship when I don't think the other team had four first downs, but we had a bad punt snap into the, and they scored on, and they scored with less than 3 minutes to go in the game to beat us. On a fluke play. So, and it was just one of those things that at any moment they could have said, this guy was nuts, we shouldn't have done this, but they didn't. They just said, we're going to keep trying, we're going to keep working. And if you look at those kids now, some of them are, I mean, they're all successful. They're all in business. They're all in jobs. They own their own business. They do stuff. And I think a lot of that comes back to, you know, not only their families who are great, but the lessons they learned, like what you're saying. Like, just stick with things. Stick with it.
Yeah.
And we want to be, our coaches, we want to be a little part of that. You know, we're around them probably more than their parents are during their 4 years of high school because we're with them so much. So we just want to make the best possible versions of kids we can and be there for them. And we hope success happens for them. It's never guaranteed, but we just figure if we do the right things as much as we can, we're going to have more better days and more wins than we are losses. And so far, that's been the case, and it's really worked out for our guys. And like I said, right now, we got kids playing at Notre Dame. We got a kid playing at Penn State. We got a kid playing at Temple. You know, so it's not only been good for us, you know, to as a program to do some things in life, but we put kids in positions to play at some great schools. I never thought I'd know a Harvard grad, to be honest with you, and I sent a kid to play football there, and I didn't think I'd know a kid who graduated from the Wharton Business School, but we sent a football player there, and he did that. So there's just so many. You start going down the list of teams you've sent and stuff. You know, that's the stuff I'm most proud of. Kids are able to live their dreams, whether it be at West Virginia playing or Penn State or Notre Dame, and we've been able to do that. You know, part of coaching is getting giving kids an opportunity to reach their dreams, and been pretty fortunate to be a part of that over the last 13 years. And I think we have some kids this year that will take that step as well.
Good. All right. We'll talk a little bit about this year. We can't have you here without at least touching on that. Maybe just even an overview of the schedule. I think it's great to get to know you and what your journey's been like to get to where you are as well. So we'll continue and wrap this up. It's Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger. And we will finish up tonight's broadcast right after this.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncan.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one at Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Welcome back. It is Sports Central. Dave Shannon in for Corey Geiger, joined by the head coach of the BG Marauders. That's Justin Wheeler. I'm reaching back here to get the Bible for high school football. And that would be, if you haven't got a copy, I think this is one of the best. There's things you're proud about your town, you know, for doing, or things that they have. I dare you to find a town this size that has something like this for high school football.
Yeah, that Blitz magazine. I tell you what, if you like high school sports, go buy one. I mean, we got to keep this thing going because it is so amazing. I mean, what those guys do over there to put this together is incredible. So, I mean, spend the $5-6, go grab one. Let this thing keep rolling because it is 12th annual one. And, you know, if you've played high school in the last 12 years, I guarantee you have a copy of it and you'll remember it for the rest of your life. And for everyone else, just the average person likes, it's cool to read about all these other teams too.
Yeah, and I've compared it a couple of times. Scott Franco has been in to talk about it a couple of times. And to me, it's like when I was a kid, I always look forward to like March because that's when Street and Smith's baseball annual came out. And that's kind of what this reminds me of because you got every team, you got, you know, stories about the team, you got the schedule, you got guys that are returning. And it's just, it's a great way to, if you're a fan of high school sports, definitely get a copy of this. And they put an amazing amount of work in to make this happen.
Yeah, they start pretty much right at the end of the season and work for 8 months to try to get this thing ready for August. But and you can see it just it's such high quality. It's not just something you read. It's high quality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the pictures, the book to itself, everything from the season preview to the starters to the team to the roster, the schedules, you know, players to watch. It's just neat.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to kick things off against Bald Eagle area. The plus is that's going to be here at Mansion Park. Bald Eagles, they had quite the football team last year, so they did.
They were really good. Yeah, they went on and lost a tough match to Southern Columbia, and, I think everyone thought if they could have gotten Southern Columbia, I think they were the shoe to win the state championship. I knew Westinghouse was loaded, and they are again this year, but Bald Eagle had that team. They were incredible. So, yeah, we open up again. They're ranked 3 in the state in double A. We're ranked 2 in the state in single A. So you look at week one games, it's like those big SEC weekends that you talk about, two big time, you know, ranked in the top 10.
Yeah.
You're going to get a number 2 versus a number 3 in week one on a Saturday night at Mansion Park. So, again, if you're a high school football fan, you know, August 24th, I think it is, Saturday.
Yeah.
August 24th, we might be the only show in town. College football hasn't started yet. You can come see us and Bald Eagle. I think it's going to be a great game.
Absolutely. And then you move on to McCourt Carroll. You get to play at the Point. I still call it the Point.
So
I'm not going to use that other name. But nonetheless, that's another one of the co-op programs. And apparently it's going well for both of those schools. The one I'm most familiar with because of our coaches show is the Juniata Valley Williamsburg one,
mm-hmm.
which, Coach Musser, when he come in and do the show, really kept us up to date about how that worked, what it took to make that happen. And the thing about it, we've been talking about how your team is your family. And it's like when this first started out, the kids at Juniata Valley, because most everything was done at Juniata Valley, there has been a game at Williamsburg since the co-op began. But the thing was the Williamsburg kids are always in a van and they're going to, Juniata Valley, headed out to Alexandria. And so they get there and he talked about how much the players on both teams gelled with each other right out of the bat. You know, everything was good. He told the story about the one night the Williamsburg guys are getting in their van to head back to Williamsburg. And it was like the Juniata Valley guys are in the locker room and they realize it's like, oh, man, they forgot their stuff. And it was like they go out and they flag down the van and they take all of their stuff out to them, because they just it was one of some nights. You're tired enough that you don't remember those things.
No. That's great to hear because it's important for that sports to continue. And when you have to co-op, that's one team that might not have been able to do it. So it was great for them. And we played them the year they co-op. They were good. They were really good. They did gel well. We were surprised how well they gel together. It talks about coaching and kids and people. They must have been around some good people to do that.
Yeah. Juniata Valley's a cult. That's I thought it was in the water, but it's a cult. I already told Musser that. Moving on, you have Bellefonte. You take a trip to Huntingdon, which is going to be interesting. Huntingdon, Tim Lucco's starting to get things together. Really enjoyed talking to him last year on our coaches show. And he's, this is, he's got the enthusiasm. Hopefully that's managed to get down into the players as well.
We don't hope that.
Yeah, I know.
No, he's a great guy. He's a good guy. We worked with him this summer together. Some teams got some stuff together. He's doing some good things, and I think they're going to have a great program with him. It's going to make it tough because we play them every year. They're part of our section.
Right.
The Bellwood, the Tyrone, the Centrals, who will play right in the meet that you're getting to now.
Yeah.
All those games are our section. We'll play them every year. So, and we have some good ones at home this year. You know, we have Central at home this year. We have Bellwood at home this year as well, too. So that's been a few years, probably back since 2014, since they've been over to Mansion Park with us. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah, you get to go to Tyrone. Central, of course, is right after Huntingdon. Then you get to go to Tyrone, Bellwood Annis, Chestnut Ridge, and then you get to make the trip. Phillipsburg Osceola is kind of interesting to me because I used to hear all the horror stories about the field up there because it used to be in a completely different area. They built it there at the school. It's nice. It's actually a very nice spot.
I haven't been up there since like 1991, I think, when I went up there. They had to win a game to get us in the playoffs my senior year, and they did. So the whole team drove up and watched that. So I think it's a different place now, but that's the only time I've been out that way.
Yeah, it's right behind the high school, artificial turf. Nice. You know, it's really a nice place. I mean, I did a Leser Lumber game up there, and then last year BG scrimmaged up at PO. So, you know, I've had the chance to be there a couple of times, but yeah, I think you'll like it up there. And if you win, you'll really like it.
Yeah, that's always makes the trips better when you get a W coming back. And so, we have an exciting year. I mean, I think we bring back some skill. When you bring back your quarterback and, you know, Chase Kissel and our running back Hamilton Gates and Braden Riley and Nick McCloskey, when you bring back your skill guys, you know, I think that it just makes the summer better. We had some great success up at Penn State, got third out of 46 teams in a 7-on-7. Not that that matters too much when it comes to season, but it gives you some, you know, some excitement in what you're doing. So I think it's going to be a fun year. And then you got a couple big linemen, Joe Eckenrode, 4-year starter on the offensive line, Connor McElhaney, our strongest kid in the history of the program. You know, benching almost 400 pounds, you know,
yikes.
And he only weighs 210.
Wow.
So he's just incredibly strong. So we have some exciting time. We not have the depth this year that we've had in the past. But I think it's going to be a really fun year. I'm excited. I mean, we got Penns Valley, a scrimmage on Saturday. Everyone just wants to stay healthy. And then, you know, a huge game week one. But in the Lower Highlands, especially in the East, you know, the East is loaded. I mean, Central, us.
Tyrone.
Yeah. Bellwood, usually, you know, Bald Eagle, who's incredibly good last year, hunting. So it's a tough week to week, but it's going to be fun. But
all right. Well, we'll talk more about that. You'll be coming in the second week for the High School Football Coaches Show, which, by the way, folks, this year will be at 33 on Mac and Bottle Bar 33 in the old Palmino's building there on 7th Avenue. So, you know, be prepared for some good food and some good times. And we'll see you in week two.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
All right.
It's been great.
Great to get to know you a little bit better than what we did in the past, and it's a great story, too.
Thanks,
Coach.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for tonight's edition of Sports Central. I'll be back again tomorrow night. We're going to talk to Jerry Albright from Central then. See you tomorrow night.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona.